Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast.
Welcome to the Illuminated Word. My name is Devin Morris. Today our passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Somewhat of a shorter passage than I've had the past couple weeks, but I'm okay with that. These are a good couple of verses to pray on and think on. So we'll read our verses and talk a little bit. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I took a summer class back in June. It was a week-long intensive, and then did some coursework throughout the rest of the summer to finish the class up. It was on the Gospel of Luke, and more than any other gospel, Luke really hits on the subject of money, wealth, poverty, the disparity between the two groups of people, as the rich and the poor. And Luke, that's just a really big topic, a really big concern for Luke, because what you see is Luke paints this picture is that that's a big concern of Jesus. Jesus' primary audience wasn't just sinners, but the poor. They were not necessarily synonymous groups, but they did sometimes, they were sometimes grouped into the same grouping, for lack of a better term. Simply because there's normally this view of what you'd say is retribution theory, and that if you're blessed, it's because you're doing well. You must be right before God. If you're poor, if you're destitute, you must have done something wrong to deserve that. Well, Jesus blows that up. The book of Job blows that up. The Pentateuch actually blows that up. The scripture blows that theory up. That's just not true. But nonetheless, in first century, that's kind of how things were viewed anyway. Matthew lays out some pretty good points here, and it might seem all very, metaphorical to us. But if we think about the time and Jesus speaking to, the things that you had really would be destroyed by moth and rust, and thieves really could break in and steal. The modern banking system didn't really start till the mid-1400s. You have evidences of banking systems all the way back to the Mesopotamian period, where the palaces or the temples would be a common place where people would store their wealth for safekeeping. But the banking system as we know it today didn't develop till just a couple hundred years ago. So in first century, you didn't have banks. You kept your own money. If you were wealthy enough, maybe you kept it in the temple. If you were wealthy enough, maybe you were able to build your own storehouses to keep your things in. But the common person would have a strong box just in their home, a very well-made box that they would keep their wealth in. If they couldn't afford that, you would bury it in your home. If you can remember the parable of the talents, you know, the one talent man buries his. You know, he's in a sense putting it in his bank. That's where you would keep your wealth. So when Jesus says, "Hey, this moth and rust will destroy thieves breaking and steal," that might be a little distant to us because we say, "Well, my things are really well made. We have plastics that last forever. I have banks to store my money in. Jesus, this doesn't really hit with me." And that's true. I think the way that we live right now kind of distances us from the teaching that Jesus is trying to bring us here. But just remind yourself that those things still rust and decay and fade and eventually will be destroyed and could be stolen. There's several stories we could bring up about the corruption of banks. We could go as early as 2008 We could go back hundreds of years. There's plenty of stories of banks taking advantage of people's wealth, doing crooked things that end up getting a lot of people in pretty bad situations. Jesus' point here then shouldn't be lost on us. Those material things that you have really can disappear, I mean, right before your eyes. So what you need to do is realize the finite aspect of the things that are right in front of you. The car that you're driving, the home that you live in, are all very finite things. So instead, you should lay up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust aren't allowed, where thieves are not allowed. Nothing can harm your treasures there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If that's where you're going to store the things, that's where you, in a sense, are. That's where you will end up, I guess is a way we could say it. You go to chapter 13 and verse 44. You know that Jesus doesn't think that there's literal treasure for you in heaven, but rather that heaven itself is treasure. The presence of God is the reward. There is not monetary blessings waiting for you in heaven. It is the presence of God that we're supposed to value. When we get to any type of teaching like this on money, where things are meant to be, this is an easier teaching on money by far, because this can be very allegorical and it doesn't actually talk about my money specifically. But it's great. It's a great test. Anytime you read a passage on money or your wealth, is to ask yourself a question. After you've read it and you've had your first thought or two about the teaching, do you try to explain how Jesus doesn't mean what he's saying literally? Or are you actually asking yourself how you're going to apply that teaching to your own wealth? That's a really good test for us. Because if we immediately say, well, Jesus doesn't really mean go sell all my possessions. Jesus doesn't really mean it's harder for a rich man to fit through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. He doesn't mean that. We immediately try to explain them away. Or do we take the teaching of Jesus that says, hey, give away your wealth, and are we thinking about how to apply it? That's really a test to see where our hearts are. Is our heart really in heaven, or is it in our wealth? I think this is a really cool quote from Craig Keener. And anytime I'm going to think or talk about the book of Matthew, I usually go to Craig Keener's commentary because it's really good. Think about what he says here. If, that is, contemporary Christians, if they value what God values rather than what most of society's value, they must value the basic needs of others without adequate resources above the accumulation of possessions beyond basic needs. All of Jesus' teachings, there's usually some context or a really easy connection between not just are we supposed to get, you know, not have this love for money, but to want to give our money away. The only positive teaching on money you're going to find in Scripture is when it's being given away. In the context of Jesus' ministry, the positive images of money is when it's being given away. Think about it. Think about all of his parables. Think about a story of like him and Zacchaeus. The positive moment comes when Zacchaeus is giving his things away. That's the only positive teaching on money. We must value the basic needs of others without having our own adequate resources above the accumulation of possessions that go beyond our basic needs. It seems that Jesus really only cares about us having our basic needs. There seems to be, for some reason, this really dark, really poor view of making it, week to week. You're waiting on your next check because you just gotta be able to pay these bills. I can empathize with this. I understand that, of going week to week and be worrying about paying a bill or something like that. But there's something to be said about how Jesus would want that for us rather than us having greater possessions, rather than us. Jesus wants me to live check to check versus being filthy rich and hoarding up things for myself. That's a hard teaching because that's an uncomfortable one. But straightforward from the text, we can just quickly go to theorizing. Well, God would be fine if I'm, you know, filthy rich as long as I'm giving away. Yeah, sure, that's fine. But let's not jump to that part. Let's sit in what Jesus' actual teaching is that if we have possessions, we give it away. If you don't have the possessions, you're blessed. There's a blessing there for you in not having those possessions. This is exact opposite of a prosperity gospel. I know. But I think that's what we find in Matthew here. I think it's what we found throughout the Gospel of Luke. I think the writers of the Gospels really understood this teaching of Jesus's because it was radical. There were not many rabbis who were agreeing with Jesus on this. But this is Jesus's teaching. We're meant to value other people, other people's needs above racking up our own resources, racking up our own possessions beyond what our basic needs are. Whew, that's a tough one. That's hard because there's so much worry, so much stress that comes in with money, having enough, wanting to do enough things with our money. But be careful what you're treasuring. Be careful what you think is important and what your family needs. And just verify. Just do some self-evaluation here. Is that the things that Jesus wants you to be worried about? Are you placing your treasure where Jesus wants you to place your treasure? I hope you're looking for ways to love and serve your neighbor in genuine and sincere ways this week. Peace and love.